Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study broadcast presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Ken Leach, preacher at Monte Vista, and your host for the next 30 minutes or so. The great prophet Isaiah once said, "Come, let us reason together." That expresses well what I hope to achieve on these radio programs.
Last week, we began a lesson concerning the evaluation of the Jehovah's Witness religion. We began topical studies of various religions some 8 weeks ago now, and we invite you to contact us via our website, www.montevistacoc.com, and request DVDs of any of these subjects that scrutinize world religions of the day. We spent 3 weeks looking at the religion of Islam and how that compares with the Bible. Then we spent 3 weeks looking at Catholicism, and again, an examination was made of that worldwide religion with what God teaches that we should believe. And we came to some conclusions in those lessons that I think would be important for you to consider. But don't take the word of some radio evangelist, but open the scriptures and compare for yourself those things that you hear and see if they compare with the wisdom of man, or if they compare with the revelation of God. And if you are a member of a religion that cannot be read about in the Bible, and you find differences with regard to what you believe and what God has revealed, I suggest to you that you give earnest consideration to changing your belief. Belief, in fact, according to the Bible, is generated by the truths that are revealed by God. God says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Don't wait until judgment to find out that you're wrong concerning the things that you believe to be right. Be right about them now. Protect yourself in judgment so that on that great day you might hear Jesus Christ say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of your Lord." Last week, we gave a brief history of how the Jehovah's Witnesses religion began. We talked about the founder, Charles T. Russell, and his predecessor, Mr. Rutherford. We'll not review those things, but we did begin last week examining some of their core beliefs and showed how they just simply are not consistent with what the Bible teaches. We looked at their teaching concerning the Godhead, and we saw a major difference in that and the revealed truth of God's Word. We took a look at the kingdom of Christ and what they taught and what they teach and how that differs with what the revealed truth is. We took a look at what they believe concerning the return of Christ and how that is just so very different than what we can expect if we believe the Bible. We looked at their teaching on the nature of man and saw the differences there. We took a look at their teaching concerning the resurrection, and we saw, quite frankly, that what they teach concerning the resurrection is just false doctrine. It is not that which is true to God's Word. We began viewing their teaching concerning the punishment of the wicked. And I think that since that was toward the last of our lesson in our previous week's study, that we'll begin there, even if some of those things are repeated. According to the Bible, all those who die in a state of rebellion toward God will be subject to affliction. They'll be subject to punishment in the Hadean realm, and that'll commence immediately after death. The Hadean realm is formed of two compartments. According to Luke, the 16th chapter, verse 23, 24, and 25, one of the compartments of that Hadean realm is torment. That's the place where those who are not faithful to the revealed word of truth go awaiting judgment. That's the place of the rich man of that account in Luke, the 16th chapter. The other place is called paradise. That's the place where in Luke 16 we find Abraham and Lazarus there in comfort because they lived a life that was pleasing to God. And we learn from the 16th chapter of the book of Luke that there's a great chasm between those two sides, and one cannot cross from one to the other regardless of desire. And that's why the rich man cried out that Abraham would send Lazarus back to the earth to communicate that great truth to his brothers who were living in sin so that they wouldn't come to a place that was is such terrible punishment that he was in. You remember he even cried out initially in that account for Lazarus to bring a drop of cool water to cool his tongue. And he was told that his brothers had preachers that were expounding the truth and that they should hear him, and that if they wouldn't hear the preachers, they wouldn't believe a person even if he returned from the dead. So certainly, according to the Bible, people when they die in rebellion to God will be subjected to that place that's called torment, and that'll happen immediately after death. You also need to look in your study of that at 2 Peter 2 and verse 4. The Jehovah's Witnesses deny that will happen. There is a book that was written by a witness called Let God Be True, and they have a chapter in that book entitled Hell, A Place of Rest in Hope. Well, now, giving them the benefit of doubt, I don't believe that they're using the word hell to talk about the fires of Gehenna, but they're using hell in the way that it was used in the New Testament of Hades. Now, the problem comes in thinking about hell and Hades and the definition of the two, that the King James Version just simply got it wrong. They just simply didn't have the proper translation when they come up with the word hell instead of Hades in one of their accounts. But that being aside, the witnesses teach that there's a place of hope in torment in this place called Hades. I would like to just imagine for a moment setting the rich man before you and asking him if he found rest in the place that he was sent upon death. He certainly was not resting according to the Bible. His condition was hopeless. Furthermore, the final state of the wicked following the day of Christ's coming will be even more intense punishment. Judgment was characterized by great suffering in 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 9. It's said to be that of tribulation and anguish, Romans 2 and verse 9. Torment is the way that judgment separated from God is described in Revelation 14 and verse 10. Hell will be a place of shame and contempt, according to Daniel 12 and verse 2. In hell, there will be agony that is unending, according to Mark 9 and verse 48. All of those descriptives tell me that God wants me to know that the disposition of the wicked will be that of a conscious state of alienation and pain from the Creator. The witnesses reject that biblical information. They contend that in all places where hell is translated from the Greek word Gehenna, it means everlasting destruction or extinction. The witnesses also affirm that the ultimate end of Satan is complete annihilation. That just doesn't fit well when contrasted with Revelation 20 and verse 10. There the Bible reads, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where are also the beast and the false prophet, and they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." Does that sound like extinction to you? Well, the witnesses also teach false doctrine concerning salvation. The witnesses teach a number of concepts that are at variance with the Bible doctrine of salvation. First, contrary to numerous passages in Scripture, which either assert or imply the innocence of children, the advocates of the watchtowerism contend that infants are born in sin. Listen to what they say, quote, "Man's need of a ransom is shown in the fact that all men are both imperfect and sinners," unquote. How does that compare with the Bible? Well, the Bible affirms that the imagination of the human heart is on evil from one's youth, Genesis 8 and verse 21, not his birth. Children are even held up as models for those who aspire to enter the kingdom of heaven, Matthew 18 verse 3, Matthew 19 verse 14. You and I are urged to be like little children in our disposition, 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 20. How is that consistent with children being born in sin? Second, the New Testament plainly teaches that water baptism is for the remission of sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. It's also taught in the Bible as to wash away one's sins, Acts 22 and verse 16. But the witnesses contend that sins are not washed away by baptism, an arrogant contradiction of inspired testimony. The Bible says sins are washed away, baptism. The witnesses say sins are not washed away in baptism. Who will you believe? To these people, baptism is merely an outward symbol of an unconditional dedication to do the will of Jehovah God. The only thing, quite frankly, that we need to believe that is some scripture that teaches it. The witnesses teach that some will be granted opportunity for salvation after they die. In a 1908 debate with a Mr. White, Mr. Russell, founder of the Watchtower Movement, denied that salvation is confined to this present life. Get it now? Russell said, quote, "Salvation is not confined to this present life," unquote. Additionally, he affirmed that when the unjust are raised, vast multitudes of them will be saved, unquote. The Bible knows nothing of this. The Bible teaches nothing about post-mortem redemption. The Bible says now is the day of salvation, 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2. After death, the Bible teaches, comes the judgment, Hebrews 9 and verse 27. There is no second chance for salvation. The Lord taught that some would seek to obey it after it was too late for them. They waited too long, Luke 13, verse 24 through 27. The parable of the virgin teaches that all preparation has to be made before death and the final return of the Lord, Matthew 25, verse 1 through 13. The Jehovah's Witnesses teach false doctrine concerning the authority of the Watchtower Association. Although the witnesses claim a belief in the exclusive authority of the Scriptures for determining correct beliefs and practices, they actually don't do that. Their activities and their teaching and their writings deny that they have that belief. In an early issue of the Watchtower, we see the following written, quote, "People cannot see the divine plan in studying the Bible by itself," unquote. Witnesses were warned that if one stopped reading Pastor Russell's studies in the Scriptures, that within 2 years they would go into darkness. For example, the disciples of Russell and Rutherford admit that for a half century they were not known as Jehovah's Witnesses. It was only in 1931 that they convened a conference and resolved what the divine name would be henceforth. What happened to the witnesses before that? These religionists assert that Jesus is providing spiritual food today through a visible instrument or agency that's called the Watchtower Society. That's blasphemy. Anyone who's dealt extensively with the Jehovah's Witnesses know they don't think for themselves. They don't decide Bible issues on their own. They look to the governing body to resolve difficult questions. They are Watchtower slaves. They are also slaves of Satan. The Witnesses teach false doctrine on the creation account. The Witnesses have a reputation for opposing the theory of evolution. But actually, even though they compromise and teach different doctrine, actually they don't stand up for the biblical account of creation at all. For instance, they repudiate the biblical information and the affirmation that the entire creation was accomplished in six literal days. Exodus 20, verse 11. Let me just stop right there and say that there have been those within the Church of Christ that taught the same thing, and it's just as wrong for people within the body of Christ to teach false doctrine as it is people outside the body of Christ to teach false doctrine. The Witnesses stretched the creation days, as some did within the body of Christ a few years back. They stretched the creation days to spans of 7,000 years each, and thus the Lord's creative activity supposedly occurred over an era of 42,000 years. Well, isn't that something? Such Bible perversion is just inexcusable for those that will, with an honest heart, study God's Word. The Witnesses are not alone, though, in that type of textual manipulation. It should be stopped wherever it's found. Well, that sort of concludes our study about the Jehovah's Witnesses. Let me say that the zeal and the sincerity of those people is no substitute for the truth. Zeal and activity that promotes false doctrine, even when it's sincere, is a great detriment to the cause of Jesus Christ. Christians need to be better informed concerning the Jehovah's Witness doctrine and, with genuine love, try to teach those people the truth. In review, let me again suggest to you that the major areas of the Jehovah's Witness movement that teach false doctrine is their teaching on the Godhead, their teaching on the return of Christ, their teaching on the kingdom of Christ, their teaching on the nature of man, their teaching concerning the resurrection, their teaching concerning the punishment of the wicked, their teaching concerning salvation, and their teaching concerning the authority of the Watchtower Society. I would be willing to enter into discussion with any Jehovah's Witness as long as the standard of authority, as long as the standard which would determine truth is the Bible, because the Bible is from God and not from man. At the Monte Vista Church of Christ, we honestly try to speak where the Bible speaks and to be silent where the Bible is silent. God's Word is our only creed. We invite you to come and visit us, but we invite you to bring something with you when you do that. And that's something that we invite you to bring is your Bible. Compare the things that you found taught at the Monte Vista Church of Christ with what the Bible says. And I would suggest to you that if you would do that, certain things will happen. First, if you find something taught at the Monte Vista Church of Christ that you can't find in the Bible, bring that to our attention. And if we cannot guide you in the Bible to those passages that authorize what we do, and we won't change, then get just as far away from us as you can. Because certainly, that is not what God brought about. God did not bring about something that cannot be understood. God brought revelation. He did not bring something that is concealed. I heard it said, God did not conceal, He revealed. And in fact, that's the truth. So, if you come and visit us at the Monte Vista Church of Christ and you find doctrine taught that's not found in the Bible and we are not responsive to changing our beliefs, well then just get as far away from us as you can, because in that instance we would not be a true church. But if you do bring your Bible and you find those things taught here that you can confirm as coming from God's Word, if you can confirm that God taught them and we just relayed them, and that those teachings did not originate with us, well then, humble yourself in the sight of God. Believe what He taught and do what He said. And if that puts you in a different religious mode than what you are now, well then you should thank God that you've had opportunity to learn the truth before it's everlastingly too late. Every year at the Monte Vista Church of Christ, we take a week and dedicate it to a special study of God's Word. We always do that the first full week in November. I think that the first Sunday, the first full week in November, a Sunday date is November the 8th. I might be wrong about that, but I think that it is. If I'm wrong, well, then I'll correct that next time. But anyway, the first Sunday in November begins a gospel meeting at the Monte Vista Church of Christ. Some people might call that a revival meeting. It's where we invite a speaker from somewhere in the country to come and to focus in on Bible truths with us. We meet at 2:30 on the first Sunday of that meeting. We only have one service that Sunday, but then every night through Friday, we meet at 7 o'clock and we consider God's truth. There's a man that lives in Nashville, Tennessee, and he wrote a book that has to do with daily devotions, and that book has become quite popular across the country, and his name is Gary Henry. Diligently Seeking God is the name of that book, and if you've ever had opportunity to look at some of the thoughts that Gary Henry has written in that book, I think you would have been impressed with the way that it helps you to have a better day and helps you to develop a personality that's closer to God. Well, we've invited Gary Henry, who happens also to be a preacher, to come and to spend the week with us. And he's going to share with us information on the subject of diligently seeking God. I think that you would be very rewarded to come and to join us in that series of gospel meetings. I know that sometimes I'm invited somewhere and I think, boy, I'd really like to go there, but I just have other things planned. If I'd have just known about that earlier, I could have arranged my schedule so that I could have been there. I think that from time to time, and that's why I'm bringing this up to you so early. So if you have any interest at all in coming and sitting at the feet of Brother Gary Henry and learning the results of his study concerning life, well then, how about making a note of that? Pencil us in for the first full week of November and come and spend some time with us. We'd just love to meet you and to share with you what we think is the most important message in all of the world. That is the message of salvation brought by Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for joining me today. If you enjoy Bible-centered study, why not come visit the Monte Vista Church of Christ? We're located on the west side of 40th Street between McDowell and Thomas Roads. 2202 North 40th Street is our address. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and each Wednesday evening at 7. Everyone interested in God's revelation to man is welcome. We also assemble for worship following our Sunday morning Bible classes, and then again on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Until next time, this is Ken Leach, hoping you have unlimited opportunity to let your light shine for Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.